Morning, could we be any more spread out? Oh my word. I know what it's like to uproot people and say, I took them from my seat and I asked them to come forward and sit in the thing. You do what you want to do. Okay, here we go. So I have teens. No, I just have adults.
Yes.
Some of you, yeah, okay, I'm starting to believe you. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the day, the opportunity we have this day to serve you, to have the word of God preached to us, to have our hearts strengthened and encouraged. Please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Job, or if you're unemployed, Job, it's kind of hope there, Job. And I want you to look with me, I think it's at chapter, I walked away from my Bible, chapter 12, verse 12. Someone give me your take on the book of Job, like a short paragraph summary. Matt Miller, thanks for raising your hand. It's that incredible achievement last night of chili cooking and whatever. Short story on Job. Yeah. Do you ever feel like saying friends in quotation marks? It's like, his friends come, you know? But wow, what a story. Here's a man, Job, that is in the trials of his life, but all of a sudden he's spouting out wisdom like he's Solomon. Now, all the afflictions through which Job went are real. Brother Matt, since we're already talking this morning, you ever wonder if you would experience the same disaster of Job, like God trusted you with that experience? You think you have what it's in you to stick it out? Yeah. Yeah. Lose everything, everything? That's tough. But Job is in this season of his life. I don't think we should ever enter a book without really knowing its story, and that's why I just kind of paused there for a second. Job chapter 12, verse 12, the Bible reads, would you read it out loud with me? It's not that many verses, and it's simple. With the ancient is wisdom, and in the length of days, understanding. Yes, this verse shows the incredible value of people with age. Mark, how old are you? 58. Why do you look so much older than me? I'm sorry. Do I have any 80s and up? Because I was thinking maybe, but no. 80. I got five. Five over 80s. Octogenarians. My mother is 87. Don't say I told her age publicly. Then again, sometimes she Googles where I am and watches me on the YouTube or the Facebook. So there you go. But what does society say when you're in your 60s, what does society say? You're fading out. You're in your sunset years. Meaning, you're going to die soon. Is society always right? No, of course not. So here we are. You're in the 60s, raise your hand. Mine's up with you. 4, 5. Again, an even number of that. So 50% or so is there. 70s? Okay. What about my 50s? Good. So we're getting a balance here. 90s? Any 90s? Okay, no 90s in the room at least, or they're deaf and can't hear. So in every decade of life, there is merit. So, Mark, I'm going to throw this to you, okay? What you know at 58 and what you knew at 28, any difference? Can I throw this out and you kind of give me your words back, okay? Did you think you knew everything at 28? Yes, and what did you learn at 58? It wasn't that much. So where did society get this idea? Kick them to the curb, let the young ones in, let them lead, let them do all those things, when the greatest source of knowledge, humanly speaking, is our elders. Oh, we cater our entire ministries to the littles. Got to have youth in the church. Without youth in the church, they're going to die. Well, first of all, everybody's going to die anyway, so let's be honest there. Number two, this is where we give practical, basic advice today without any varnish, right? So we just put it out there. Everybody's going to die anyway. But we have to begin to think differently ourselves. I mentioned this the other night. I'll bring it to your attention again. If you don't mind, I think I have it written right here, and I can just quickly read you the thing, because what happened this week was a guy's wife, military guy's wife, wrote me and said, my husband turned 60. I'm getting a bunch of people together to send them funny quotes and send them little jabs and chiding him a little bit. And then she also said words of encouragement. I said, that's my department, words of encouragement. And so I wrote him to tell him what I thought and what I found when it came to this season of life. Here's what I wrote him. Decorated military guy. I said, Dan, welcome to what I believe will be the best decade of your life. As you step into this new season, may you discover the profound purpose and potential that God has stored up for you. What happens at 60? You can't have the life experiences in your sixth decade without having the five other decades before, and you do the math on the rest of your age. Over these next 10 years, if the Lord grants you life and strength, you have an incredible opportunity to be more productive, more effective, and perhaps even more surprising in your work for God than ever before. When I turned 60, someone shared with me something that transformed my outlook on the remaining stages of life. It is a powerful reminder. Far from slowing down, we now must just begin to step into our most powerful years. My friend sent me this, and I send it to you. A study found that the most productive age in human life is 60 to 70 years old. How many of you thought that before this week? What would you have said? How do you feel it? You raise your hand and identified your in your 60s, right? Do you feel the same at 60-something as you did as 20-something? No, your body's different, but your mind, wow. What you didn't know then, you know far better now. I would have never picked 60 to 70. I would have said maybe 40 to 50 or 50 to 60. And now we're throwing out numbers that make you like, do people still live at that age? Aren't they dead inside? No, listen to me. Here's what the study said. This is from the New England Journal of Medicine in 1986. The second most productive decade is from 70 to 80. And the third most productive is 50 to 60s. Where are my 50-year-olds? You're just in your third most productive decade of your life. Wait till you grow up. The average Nobel Peace Prize winner is 62. CEOs, the average age of the CEOs, most prominent companies, the average age is 63. And the average age of the pastors of the 100 largest churches is 71. So what am I telling you? You're not done. If you thought that this season of life is to sit and have people bring you food or take you to go get food, because that's the average senior activity in our average churches. Now I know, look, you're not looking to go to the trampoline park. I get it. Sorry, Mike. It's like, but I can tell you this, at 55, 2 months before open heart surgery with 100% blockages, I was at the trampoline park with the teens jumping. Oh, wow. I did not feel like preaching that night, but I did. So back to my study and my letter to my friend Dan. Served in the Army for 30 plus years. So I said, Dan, this means we've lived long enough to enter the prime of our purpose, the season of wisdom, experience, and insight, all aligned to make our work for God richer and more lasting. Use this decade to make a mark for His glory. I said, there's more. Another review in the New England Journal of Medicine concluded that age 60, we are at the peak of our potential. And it continues well into our 80s. So I'm just trying to evaluate my health care for December while it's open enrollment. And now you're talking about me living a long, long time. This is time for us to make up our minds. We are not here to collect dust till we die. If the most exciting thing on your agenda this week is to pick out your casket, I'm going to tell you there's more. So I wrote the rest. May God grant you a decade filled with purpose, strength, and ever-deepening awareness of His presence. Make it count for Jesus, my friend. You've only just begun. Here's the beautiful thing. You came to family conference. And for those of you who are done with your immediate child raising kids. Now, I realize I have young adults. I have adults here. So I've got families with littles as well as families with grands and great-grands. Any great-grands parents here? One, two. Good thing Jim and Linda both had their hand up. I was thinking, okay, wait, Jim, where's your hand? Come on. All right. Yeah, great-grands as well. So we've got two sets of those here. But here's your moment. You came to this thinking, well, what could I get from a family conference? And to realize that there is something for you. I can't have you quit. I need to reach an 80-year-old and say to them, talk me through this. So this week, I tapped into a Tibetan word to describe a people group, an ethnic group called the Sherpas. I never read that in my Bible. I asked the Google last night, and the Sherpa isn't in the Bible. I know. But when you take the prism of who are the elders who were helpers, they'll come off the page to you. How many of you, and by upraised hand, I'm going to stand here. Because I'm not sure your generation knows who this person is. So I'm going to stand here and you're going to be the cultural interpreter for the youth. Gen Z showing up. Okay? Do you know who Mr. Rogers is? Yes! And anybody else? Mr. Rogers, the program, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Mr. Miller? No? Okay, when your hand didn't go up, I was alone. Okay. What did Mr. Rogers say when tough times came? Jacob Inman, did you have your hand up? I was so busy looking at the youth. Did you have your hand up on the Mr. Rogers one? Okay, so was it his mom who actually told him that? I think it was his mom who said it. Said, when tough times come, what do? Oh, stop. Come on, this was like the moment. Carrie, can you bail me out, girl? Look for the helpers. It looked like together, but not oneness. That's what it looked like to me. Yeah, look for the helpers. What was Mr. Rogers' mom? You say, well, Brother O'Malley, shouldn't you be quoting scripture? I started with scripture. I'm headed there. Just give me a minute to make an illustration. Look for the helpers. She taught him. There are people in uniform. Find them. You get lost, look for the helpers. When the littles in this church are either carried in or toddle in, or some of them launch in, are they going to identify you as a helper? I mean, your littlest here is Eleanor. What's Eleanor's middle name? You had to think about that. Eleanor Jane. How old is she? Hey, baby. How are you? Yeah. Big smiles. When she gets to the age where she walks in, someone's got her by the hand, and older sibling or some teen in the church who loves kids, or when she breaks in through the threshold of the church, are you going to be seen, Mark, as a helper? She said, well, we don't have uniforms. We can get them if you want them. But, right, sure, we'll go for it. So the idea is that all of our, I use 1975 as the birth year, all of our over 40s ought to be seen as the helpers. How many mamas have tried to get kids in the car, in the car seats, to the church parking lot, out of the car seats, into the building, up the stairs, to their classes, to only repeat the same in 2 hours, to get them out the door, corralled together, making sure they have all that they brought, back out to the car, into the car seats, and ready to go home, having had moments here at church? How many of them go through that every week without a helper? So, well, I can't carry a kid anymore. My hands, my back, my feet, my legs. Can you sit by a kid in church? Can you just walk by Kara and maybe just let me take your hand for just a sec and just walk by her hand, squeeze it and say, I believe in you. You're doing a good job. Hang in there. Can you do that? Well, I don't know. I wanted to get to lunch. Now I got to slow down and look after mamas. I never had a mama to come along and help me. Well, change the world. So I don't know how to do that. You know how to say, where's the buffet? The ancient have, go back to Job 12:12 in case you forgot. With the ancient is what? Say it, church. Well, that was so weak. Let's try it again. With the ancient is? What does that mean? It's not just that you know stuff. It's you know how to do stuff. So, well, I don't want to be arrogant to walk up and just assume that they want to hear from me. Trust me. Walk up to them and say, hey, Mac, I know her name's not Mac, but to me, she'll always be Mac. I'm Mac, you're PC. I'm losing it. No, that's right. Excuse me, PC. You as a mom matter. But before you were a mom, you mattered. Your son's name starts with a D. Declan, yeah. I was running through my names here trying to keep them straight. Declan is so blessed that you guys are his parents. What did that cost you in time? 30 seconds? What did it deposit in her heart? Find the helpers. Why? With the ancient is wisdom. Matt Miller, what does the rest of the verse say? Job 12:12, if you're in your King James Bible. You've lived long enough to know stuff. And the other night I asked Kara, I said, how was your day? And I believe the answer you gave me was, it was good. And then I turned that into, what makes a good day for you? Because for every mom, a good day is going to be different. It's like, I was away from the kids all day. It was a great day, best day ever. But I think you said that the kids were good. They were well behaved. And then I pressed again and you said, well, I had a migraine today. Oh, I asked, are all the kids napping at the same time? Well, by those questions, well, I'll just go to Kara. When I asked you those questions without any other background of why I asked and whatnot, what did that speak to you? What did it say about my interest in you? I'm also a person. I'm not just a mom. Ray Lynn, you got any kids to look after? I know. It was like, I didn't recognize you. You got all, where's your wigglers? But you got kids to watch. Is it easy to lose your identity in what you're doing and forget who you are? And the helpers at church, your job ought to be, we remind them, I don't want to walk up to some woman and say some sort of compliment. It'll be fine. Why? They need us. Look at me. I put myself in the 60 to 80 department. They need us. Pastor, are you 60 yet? No. Coming soon, though. To a neighborhood near you. Are you 59? Yeah. I knew there was just, you look older than I am, but I am older than you are. I knew it was close to that.
Look at you showing up.
Come on, look. That's it. That's all you got to do. For real.
What an encouragement. You bless my heart.
Look, I'm here for you, and I'll be here all day. No, he's going to stay. If we don't kill you first, you'll be buried in the yard. 71, you're staying. 71 is the average age, top 100 churches. Our prime is now, people. This is not the time for us to find a Greyhound bus and the Amish restaurants to go eat at. We've got young people to encourage. The young people? No, just the kids. In every regard, I am challenging you. These Sherpas, you know what they gave themselves to? And it wasn't necessarily by intention, but their lungs could handle the air of the high elevations. Their stamina was such, their walking and hiking experience was such, that their age and culture gave themselves to helping climbers. I wanted to put a picture up of Sherpas, but they're a little weather beaten. But then so are we. What you've lived through has to be imparted. Look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 31. Preacher, do we quit at 10:05, 10:10, what?
10:15.
Wow, look at me, I got time. Y'all are the slowest readers and listeners. Proverbs 16. I walked away and now, is it 31 that I want? 16:31. Would you read it aloud with me since now more of you are awake? Proverbs 16, verse 31. Here we go. The hoary head is a crown of glory if, oh wow, that's conditional. The hoary head is a crown of glory. Finish reading it with me now. If it be found in the way of righteousness. Okay. Brother Colossa, help me with that verse. The hoary head, who is that? The older folks, the white-haired, no hair, representing, come on. The hoary head, the white-haired, the aged. Keep going. The hoary head is what? Wow. We got royalty in the church. Who's the royalty? Oh, the little babies. Look at Eleanor Jane back there, keeping her mommy busy. Who's the royalty in the church? Not the littles. It's y'all. We stand for the hoary head. We stand for the ancient. There was a generation that taught their children that if someone older approaches you, you stand for them. Were you in that generation? Did your parents teach you that? You stood for an older person, period. Why? Thank you. Respect. Who's the royalty in the church? Well, it'd be the pastor. No, not unless he's 71. No, I mean, yes, there is respect for the pastor. I get that. But the Bible is teaching that the aged are the ones who are royalty. So don't drag around here thinking you've got no value. You have no purpose. You are value. You lived. But there's a provision. There's an if. It's a condition. What's the condition, young woman? 16:31.
If it be found in the way of righteousness.
If it be found in the way of righteousness. What do you think that means, Michaela? Think about it. So you got royalty, the people, the white-haired, the aged people. They are royalty. It's a crown of glory. But only if they are. You can go ahead. Following the Lord. So is every older person royalty? When you're found in the way of righteousness, yes. But I've watched the aged make really dumb decisions. There's an elderly community in Central Florida and other places where you watch these 70 plus people and they live in a licentious way. So what are they doing? That's because they reach the age, it doesn't mean that they got it. Righteousness is the key. I just watched one of our guys walk a mom in with an umbrella. I love that. Just right now, John, your husband, walked in. The mom with the teenager said she's getting ready to go through a divorce. D. Like, yes. I love that kind of exceptionalism. But we're the helpers. We live long enough to know something. He said, well, every one of my experiences is negative. Well, then teach from that position. Your authority is not your failure. Your authority is the Word of God. So the ancient. Hey, Dee, you're coming into a class where it's just all the adults. And stay with me. I'm going to be talking a lot about older people. Just because you're present, it doesn't make you older. Some of this you're not old enough to get to yet. But we're going to keep rolling. Okay. Job 12:12. Proverbs 16:31. The hoary head is a crown of glory, and if it be found in the way of righteousness. Your experiences are honorable whether you failed or not. You say, well, how could I give a young couple advice about marriage? I've had 3 divorces. Do you just sit back in silence? No. You can start with, lead with the toughest part. I made a lot of mistakes. But the Word of God says. I did this, but the Word of God says. I mentioned this, I think, on Thursday night. I can think of a specific couple who refused to tell their kid that they should not be involved in premarital sex nor get married quickly without premarital counseling. He said, we can't tell him anything because we didn't do it ourselves. Well, I've never drunk alcohol, but I feel very comfortable telling people don't drink alcohol. And you can take that further as you think about it, rather than dig up uncomfortable topics. I don't have to live through something to know what is right or wrong. Right. I have the Word of God.
Right.
And I scolded the parents. And I said, your moral authority does not come from your failures. It comes from the fact that you got saved and you've learned the Word of God. How many of you did everything perfect before you got saved? How many of you have done everything perfect since you got saved? Hello. But here's the point. You are not saved to coast the rest of the way. I don't want to see you coast the rest of the way. Some of you have been through so much. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, I don't have the strength to do what you're talking about. Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to look at verse 31. The Sherpas as a people group are known for their physical resilience and their ability to endure harsh climates and high altitudes. They handle these changing conditions, and they are a constant stabilizing present to those who climb the mountains. You say, do you think the Sherpas get tired? I think they're human. They get tired. But they know their job is to help people ascend the summit. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I feel good about our reading out loud. It just reminds me that though you're far away from me physically, except for Michaela, you're still here. Isaiah 40, 31, but they, reading aloud, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brother O'Malley, I don't have the strength to do this kind of thing. Now, number one, you do have strength. We're not asking you to take the teens to the trampoline park. Now, if you want to go, may I suggest extra Fixident? Little life lesson there, okay? Fixident, that's the glue for the teeth. But may I remind you that your strength does not come from the physical when you're doing the spiritual. Your strength comes from God. They that wait upon the Lord. Okay, there's a little bit of rest for you. Lean into Him. Rest in His. What happens? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, that's what we long for. How important has sleep become since you've been about 50? It's like there are some mornings I get up and it's like sleep was not my friend. And other mornings it's like that was a short night. It's really bad when your watch said you did not get enough sleep. I've gone through seasons where my watch or my phone will say, you have a 45% sleep debt. I was like, I'm feeling it. I understand. However, you let me get around somebody and let me know that I have an opportunity to inspire somebody. I'll dig deep for that. There's this little boy in my life. He's 3 years old. His name is Jackson. And he's my personal assistant's son. And I've been a part of Jackson's life from the announcement, okay? I knew. And there's just something, a bond. And he'll ask his mom, kind of, I'll bridge words in instead of just his language, okay? He'll ask his mom, can we go see Uncle John at the park? And what we'll do is we'll have a park date. And we'll go to a splash pad park. And I'll wear flip-flops and old pants and a t-shirt. And I will run through the fountains with him. Over, and you know how a toddler has only one understanding, repeat. And I'll run through it and run through it and run through it. And you say, aren't you going to be tired tomorrow? Yeah, I've left the country the next day. But I wanted to go play with him. Why? Because I find strength and energy in being an encouragement to his mom and to him. And we are the helpers. And our job is to seek God for our strength. And we'll rise up with wings as eagles. And we'll run and we'll not be weary. This ought to be the cry of the biblical helpers in the church. You've lived long enough that you know stuff. So, Michaela is working a job, right? Legal? Okay. And making money? Yeah. Life stuff is going to come at you fast in this next 10 years. Car problems, life problems, boys. I think we'll just shoot the first three that show up. Challenges at work, challenges that. Wouldn't it be sweet to walk into church and say, when I get to church on Wednesday, I'm going to walk in and there's going to be a room full of helpers. And I'm going to walk over to Miss Linda and I'm going to say, Miss Linda, I had a bad day at work today. Somebody lied about me, said something that wasn't true. And Miss Linda, reach over and grab your hand and say, honey, it's going to be okay. I'm going to pray with you right now that God will change that situation. But remember, you're the daughter of a king. You straighten your crown and you walk back into work tomorrow and you just act like you belong to God. What would that do? A lot, Michaela said, a lot. We're the helpers, it's us. We've lived long enough to know that the people at work, they're temporary. And when I need strength, I get that from God. James 1:12. Some of you are not listening fast enough. We're not going to end on time. And then the guy who preaches after me, he's going to whine because somebody took all his time. James 1:12. Blessed, you there? You with me? James 1:12. If you don't mind, read it aloud with me. That way when I stop or stumble, you're going to carry the load. Here we go. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Life is filled with difficult situations and moments. You've lived long enough to put your arm around a single mom and say, you're going to make it. I'm here today to tell you, you are going to make it. Not pie in the sky words, but genuine words from a deep place. Where you walk up and you tell someone you believe in them, if you genuinely do, life-giving. I'm trying to remember the verse in Proverbs, the power of life and death are in the tongue. Death and life, I said that backwards. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What does that mean? Go ahead, finish. And they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. What is that saying? My words can kill somebody, my words can crush somebody, or my words can give life. You ever get in a public situation? What's the passage on that? I should have looked it up. Proverbs, the verse in Proverbs. Thanks, ask the Google. Ask the Google. Someone look it up so someone else can write it down. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Oh, my word. Now I have to do everything? All right, here we go. You got it, Matt Miller? Looking, waiting. Proverbs 18. Oh, come on, John. You should know this. 18. I can look at that. I was there. 18:21. What? I got closer than Jacob. It's in there somewhere. Way to show up, man. I can say something that will help somebody today. I can say something that could hurt someone today. Be the difference. Anybody can be cruel. You know, I think the greatest moments we have is when we're out in public. The girl at the CVS who cannot seem to ring up your order right. And it's like, don't you know I have to go? I got stuff to do and you're taking your time and just, and you could see she's just at wit's end. Show up with words of life for her. Just look at her in the eye and say, I got all day. You take your time, and I'll stand here and smile at you the whole time. And then, of course, if you're at CVS, the longer you wait, the longer the receipt. You're at the restaurant, and the girl is at wit's end. What's your job? I'm gonna make it worse. She better get my food right. No. Hey, it's gonna be okay. Sometimes that's all anybody needs to know. So for me to bump into this morning with the idea of being the helper, I need you to step up and step into a role of realizing your worth. The hoary head, Crown of glory if you're righteous. With the ancient wisdom, what are you doing with it? Some of you sit home. Your own kids don't call. You have no one else. And you're just looking for someone to share your story. You got a whole church full of people who need your help. And You don't have to ask. They need your help. You didn't see what I saw when I walked over to Karen and went to shake her hand. And I told her I believed in her. Tears, right here. Why? Because that's all someone ever needs to hear. So as we look ahead at the future, we're trying to bridge the gap between the generations that are here. Do not spend your days in silence. Do not leave this world without investing in others. Dear Father, thank you for these times in your word. Bless this day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.